Let's turn to Job 38:3. We have been talking about the rules of engagement. And we have been talking about the rules of engagement because many of you are in spiritual battles right now. Many of you are in spiritual battles. And I find that people don't often understand the rules of engagement. There are rules to the battle. And those rules apply whether you know about them or not. Job chapter 38, verse 3 says this, "Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me." This is an okay translation. Okay. It's an okay translation. It's out of the NIV. So if you're grabbing the Bible in front of you, it's NIV. Doesn't really capture what the Lord is saying, though. The English Standard gets a little bit closer to the meaning. It says this. It says, "Dress for action like a man, and I will question you, and you make it known to me." Closer. Now, in my mind, by far the most accurate translation you'll find in the King James. And it says this. King James says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." I like that. Gird up thy loins like a man. Can I? Yet people don't talk like this anymore. We don't talk like this anymore. And because we don't talk like this, it doesn't make sense to us. We don't fully grab. Can I translate that into the modern vernacular for you? Put on your big boy pants. Son, we about to have a chat. Put on your big boy pants. At the point that this comes in Job's life, Job is upset about a number of things, and rightly so. What he saw was an injustice that was happening in his life. And to be sure, most everybody who reads the book agrees, yeah, there's something going on there. Even the Bible itself says Job was without fault in the matter. You'll find that in Job 42:7. And yet Job suffered. He calls on God, and God says, "Put on your big boy pants. Stop thinking like a child. There are things going on around you that you don't know about. There is more to this story than you can actually see right now. I'll tell you what's going on, but if you want to understand what's going on, you're going to have to put on your big boy pants." What I want to show you today is going to require your big boy pants. Let's pray. Father, help us today to hear your word. Help us today to understand your word. And Father, help us today to diffuse the power of the enemy. I pray, Lord, that you help me to speak your word in truth and in clarity. And Father, I pray that you help me stay within the bounds of the scripture, not go beyond what is written. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we looked at John chapter 14, verse 30. You can turn there real quick if you want. This is Jesus speaking, and it's right after the Last Supper. He says this. He says, "I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no hold over me," or "he has no claim on me," or "he has found nothing in me." These are all viable translations of what he said. Last week we talked about the courts of heaven, how the enemy finds something against you and then will use that something against you in court. He takes you to court. This is what is so awesome about Job. The enemy tried his best, but no case could be made against Job. No case could be made. Much like Jesus, nothing was found in Job that the enemy could bring accusation against. That doesn't mean Job was perfect. Job was a hot mess just like the rest of us are. But the enemy couldn't make a case against him. Now, the statement in John 14:30 goes well beyond just not finding a case. So last week we talked about the enemy finding a case against you. This week we're going to go a little bit deeper. Jesus said, the enemy, the prince of this world is coming, but he's found nothing in me. Jesus was proclaiming his absolute sinlessness in this statement. And that position allowed him to enter the final arena of battle, holding all the cards. Satan had come for Jesus, just like he will come for each one of us at some point in time. And I don't mean that to sound dark. You just need to understand. Paul didn't say, if the evil day comes. He said, when the evil day comes. If you're going to live the life of a Christian, you're going to fight. That is the nature of the life of a Christian. And when the enemy comes, when he came for Jesus, he could find nothing to attach himself to. There was no button in Jesus that he could push. There was no handle that he could grab to lead Jesus around by to get Jesus to do his will. There was nothing in Jesus that the devil could work with. And the goal of every Christian is to reach that point. There is nothing in me with which the devil can work with. Jesus said, there is nothing found in me. There's, in my mind, three things that we need to consider there. The first thing we talked about last week, that is something in me that can be brought to court. A double standard in my life. I say, thou shalt not, and yet I do it all the time. The enemy will bring that against you in the court of the heavenlies. The next thing is there should be no buttons found in you, no buttons to push in you that the devil can push. And thirdly, no handles by which he can steer you by. Well, for the sake of clarity, I want to explain what I mean by buttons and handles. They're somewhat different than a case that can be made against you. So when a case is made against you by the enemy, he takes you to court. Buttons and handles can also land you in the court of the heavenlies, but they work a little bit differently. Buttons and handles are things that are found within us. There are things in your life that are in line with the nature of Satan. And you know they don't belong there. They don't belong there because we were each bought with a price. That means that I transferred ownership to a different master. And the old way of doing things has to fall away now. Now this causes people confusion. That's why I said you need your big boy pants. When you came to Christ and you received salvation, you were washed clean by the blood. Your sin was completely removed from you. But there are still natures in you, natures of the old man, the old way of life, that for whatever reason just haven't died yet. And they need to. And this is not unique to just you. You are not the only one experiencing this. Right? A lot of times people go, well, I just don't know why this is in my life. Well, welcome to the club. We make shirts. Everyone has something in their life that God is dealing with. And God rarely deals with all your stuff at once. Sometimes people go, God just needs to come and clean all this out. Oh, yeah, I'd kill you. Let him deal with them one at a time. That's how he does it. So, this is where you need your big boy pants. People tell me all the time, that is not true. There are no buttons in me because when I got saved, God forgave all my sin. He cleared everything out of me. There was nothing left. I never have to repent again. And I understand the theology. The theology is simple. Jesus can see past, present, and future. He forgave you for all of it. Not upset about that, but if that's really true, then why when you smash your thumb in a door, does profanity come out of your mouth? That is not his nature, right? That's the other guy's nature. And that means there's still something in you that's not of God. That's all it means. Just a barometer, a thermometer. Derek Prince used to say this, if you've got it all, where is it? Right? If we've got it all figured out, why do we not see it? I'm not being mean. I just want you to understand the truth. The Christian life is a process. You have been forgiven from all your sin. And if you were to die today in Christ, you're a Christian, you're a believer, you die today, you'll be received into heaven. But while you are here on earth, you will go through a process of refinement. Surprise! Probably didn't tell you that when you walked up front the first time, did they? See, the point is, you are going to be made more and more and more into the image of Christ. That is the nature of the Christian life. You will not only look more like Him indeed, but you're also going to look more like Him in power as well. See, we all want the power, we just don't want the deed. Now, I hope this is helpful for you. I want to look at 1 John 1:9. I want you to turn there and look at it. This is one of the scriptures that I have memorized. I encourage you to memorize it too. Some scriptures I just hide in my heart and they come out when I need them. And other scriptures I've memorized because I need them all the time. Most of you know. Does anybody know? Can anybody just quote it without turning there? If we confess our sin, we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sin. NIV says, purify us from all unrighteousness. So He'll forgive me and He'll purify me. Here's the deal. Most people think that this is a one promise passage. This is a passage about forgiveness. We think of it that way, but there's actually two things going on here. I will forgive your sins, but I will purify you as well. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is the immediate action. Cleansing is the overtime action. See, he wants me cleansed so I don't need to keep dealing with the same problem. Do you see that picture? It's both pieces. If you'll let Him put you on the path of purity, you won't have to continue to repent of the same sin. And what that means is, as time goes on, He's going to wash that out of you. He's going to purify you. There are things in each of us that do not represent the nature of the risen Christ. And over time, the Holy Spirit will begin to remove those things from us. And I got to tell you, for most people, this is a painful process. Nobody's happy about it because that thing in you must die. It's a painful process, but it's an important one. Nobody likes to die. That is pain. But it's important because once this has been dealt with, that is one less thing the enemy has control over you in. It is a powerful thing when he finds nothing in you. We enter the arena of battle and he just begins to push buttons. I'm just a big factory of buttons. And he's pushing all my buttons. That's why I chose the names. You can call them whatever you want to call them. I call them buttons and handles. Buttons and handles are similar, but they're also a little bit different. So let's begin with buttons. I call them this because you all understand what that means. You know what it means for somebody to push your buttons. You know what it means when you say, yeah, I just pushed his buttons. What you're saying is there is something in that person that if I just, that's all it's going to take and they're going to explode. All I have to do is touch it, and it will elicit a response. And more often than not, that response is not a godly response. In my life, anger is a button that's in me. It's just always hanging out there. If you push that button enough, I will explode. And it's almost as if it's out of my control, because it is. Is anger a godly trait? No. It's not a godly trait. In fact, it's the nature of the enemy. Therefore, what that means is that is something in me that still needs to die. I recognize it's in me, and I recognize it needs to die. Now, I can try not to get angry. To me, it's always so nice. People find out I'm a pastor, and they try to stop swearing around me. It's just funny because it's, sorry. I'm not offended. Do you understand? It's just a barometer of what's in your heart. Just reveals what's in your heart. That's all. I'm not upset about it. You keep pushing that anger button in me and I will explode. I can promise you, because it's not fully in my control to keep it under control. The part that I want you to get is that nature is in me. It's something that is found in me. And if that nature is in me, it means sin is in me. The enemy can use that button when I'm fighting him. Right? I start to press in and I start to take a little ground. He just starts pushing that button and I explode. And all of a sudden now I am not operating in the spirit of the Lord anymore. I'm operating in the spirit of Satan, of his spirit. And now what's happened is I'm no longer fighting on a battleground that I've chosen. I'm fighting in his preferred battleground. I've moved to his arena. Do you think I'm going to win in his arena? I can, but it's not likely. I need to stay in the arena of peace and joy and life. You need to understand something. This does not mean that my salvation has ever come into question. That's not at all what that means. I'm still saved. I'm still going to heaven. What it means is there is a nature in me that just hasn't died yet, and it needs to. It means that I need to be aware of that nature, because when I go into battle and that nature is there, I need to know the enemy is going to start pushing that button. I need to be aware of it. And when I start recognizing anger come up, I have to back off. Because if I don't, I will end up exploding and I'll end up fighting in his arena. Now, this isn't just rodology, right? Paul said exactly the same thing in Romans 7:15. Let me just read it to you. I do not understand what I do. For what I do, I do not. Let me rephrase. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. You ever felt that way? I know what the right thing is to do, but I just can't seem to do it. And the thing I don't want to do, that I keep doing. He continues. And if I do what I do not want to do, then I agree that the law is good. As it is, then, it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. Paul said that. Sin living in me. Well, how is that possible? It's a nature in you that hasn't died yet. Doesn't bring your salvation into question, but you need to be aware of it. If you're going to be on the battlefield on a regular basis, you need to understand buttons. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he was using buttons. He was trying to see if Jesus had a button he could push, something that he could get a rise out of. Satan appealed to greed, he appealed to vanity, but Jesus didn't bite. You know why? Those things weren't in him. Satan couldn't find a button that would elicit a response. He kept saying, if you are the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. He just didn't have any need to prove it. How often do we have a need to prove something? And then we get in the wrong arena. See, unlike Jesus, there are often buttons in us that are found. And the enemy pushes them. And when he pushes them, we fail because we got moved into the wrong arena. I'm fighting out of the wrong thing now. The Lord simply wants to remove those things from us. I told you this earlier. God does not remove all these buttons at once. He does it over time. And you know how you'll know He's working on a button in your life? You'll be in a situation where whatever that button is constantly getting pushed. Seems like it's forever getting pushed. Every little thing is making me angry. What's happening is I'm being perfected into the nature of Christ. A little at a time, I'm being more and more and more perfected. What will happen at some point in time, as you continue to work through this process, you'll find you don't have to try anymore not to get angry. You don't have to try not to explode or whatever your button happens to be. You'll just begin to step into peace. What's happened is that thing within you is starting to die. And pretty soon it'll be completely dead. And that's what we're looking for. Here's the key takeaway with buttons. Handles too, for that matter. If you have to try to keep a lid on it, that's good. But it's not yet God. You get that? If you're trying to keep a lid on it, good for you. You should. You should recognize it and you should try to do that. But when God comes, you don't have to try anymore. I don't try not to swear. It just doesn't come out of me. That's not because I'm some special person. It's because I've hidden the Word of God in my heart. There's times when I'll be in a situation, I recognize words that don't belong in my mouth starting to make their way out. I don't freak out and repent. And you know what I do? I just get in the Word, get more of the Word in my heart, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's all. It's a barometer. Job is a classic example of this. Job was under more pressure than many of us will ever know. And in all of that, the only thing that ever came out of him was righteousness. What an amazing statement. It's time. All right, so handles are a little different than buttons. Handle, I call them handles because I see them as the devil can steer you by them. Handles are what the Bible calls a stronghold. This is an arena or an area of your life where you will very, very, very rarely win the battle. If you're a big Star Trek fan, they're like the Borg. Resistance is futile. It's an arena of your life where you just can't win. I just can't defeat it. This thing causes a lot of confusion among Christians, and it causes a lot of damage among Christians as well. A stronghold is an area of your life that has not fully come under the control of Jesus. That's what a stronghold is. It's never come under His rule. And people say, that is not possible. That's where the confusion comes in at. Because you see it all the time. You know people. You know people who God has delivered them from a specific sin. You fill in the blank. Sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. God delivered them. They appear to be free, and all of a sudden light is in their life, and 3 months later, they're knee-deep in it again. How did that happen? It happened because it's a stronghold. It's not a button. It causes a lot of confusion. It also causes a lot of damage, because what happens is these Christians who are dealing with strongholds in their life don't understand what they are, and they start to think, God doesn't love me. They start to think that God isn't going to free me. God isn't going to deliver me. I'm not worthy of His forgiveness. I'm not worthy of His love. And then the enemy has a field day with that. This last week I was pulling weeds in the yard. Some of the weeds, I would reach down and grab them, just give them a gentle tug and come right out. Other weeds I'd reach down, grab them, they go pop. You know what that pop means? It means I'm going to be seeing that weed again fairly soon. What happens is, I got the visible part of it, but the root is still in the ground. If you don't get the root, it's just going to come right back. And I think weeds are specifically designed to have very weak tops so the root can always stay. Yeah, so are strongholds. They're designed the same way. Buttons are like weeds, the majority of them. The Holy Spirit will begin to give them a gentle tug and they will come out roots and all really pretty easily. Well, it's painful, but it's relatively easy. Handles are like very deep weeds, and the ground has to be softened a lot for the root to come out. If you want to get deep weeds out, you just soften the ground. Soften the ground. Water and water and water, and pretty soon you can get the whole thing. And if you don't, if you get in a hurry and you yank that thing out, pop, you just wait and you start over because it'll be back. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." If you have a stronghold in your life, an area where the devil always wins, doesn't matter what's happening, he always seems to win, you are going to have to use the weapons of the kingdom to deal with it. Well, same is true for buttons. In this case, let's talk about buttons first. With buttons, I'm going to need to use the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to begin to invoke the Word of God in my life, and I'm going to use that not as an offensive weapon, but as a defensive weapon. I'm going to apply the Word of God to that thing that's in me, and I'm going to cut it free. Does this make sense? It's a defensive weapon in this case. An arrow has landed and I need to cut it out. I begin to apply the Word of God to my life. The soil gets soft and the Holy Spirit will come and pull it out. It's not fun, but once you're free of it, you'll never lose in battle in that area again. Now Paul goes on. He says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." This is how you use the weapons. A thought comes into my mind that is in line with the enemy. We need to get some jelly donuts, and we need to get them right now. Well, God's been speaking to me about jelly donuts. And son, you eat too many jelly donuts. We need jelly donuts. Plug it into the GPS. We'll find the closest source of jelly donuts. My job is to take that thought captive. Do my best to take that thought captive. And not only to take it captive, but then to try to make it conform to Christ. It's exactly what Jesus did when he was battling the enemy. He took the thought captive, and then he corrected the twist that was in it. He set the scripture right. As I begin to do that, make these thoughts obedient to the knowledge of Christ, take them captive, make them obedient, take them captive, make them obedient, pretty soon the button falls apart. Pretty soon the button's gone. Doesn't happen day one. Happens over time. But you will notice that you will be in more and more and more situations that in the past would have just made you nuts, and now they're not making you quite as crazy as they used to. Now, handles are a little bit different in that regard. It is almost impossible to fight a stronghold. I'm not being hard. I'm not being negative. You just need to understand. We try to fight strongholds and we lose and we wonder why we're losing. The solution to a stronghold isn't a battle. The solution to a stronghold is you have to apply the blood of Jesus and you have to apply it continually until the ground is softened. Strongholds are created in a lot of different ways. The reason the Bible calls them strongholds, the reason they're called that, is because they are very hard to break into. They are very hard to break into. They're created in a lot of different ways. If God begins to speak to you about a button, and you won't deal with that button will eventually become a stronghold. You need to deal with this, son. You need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing this. You need to start doing that. Tomorrow. Pretty soon you'll find that has become a stronghold. Sometimes strongholds are generational things. This is very real. It happens all the time. Your ancestor at some level was in covenant with the enemy. And that covenant transfers to generations. You have the right to break that, but you have to know it exists first. Sometimes you're just playing with doors you shouldn't have been playing with. Sometimes you're working with things you shouldn't be working with. And you open a door, and you find you can't get the door closed again. It's become a stronghold in your life. People do this with things of the occult, right? They play with Ouija boards, and they play with all sorts of things like this, and then they find that all of a sudden these thoughts are coming in, and they're trying to fight them, and they can't fight them anymore. You open the door, and it's a hard door to get closed. Here's what I want you to understand. The hows and whys don't even matter. Doesn't matter where it came from. Doesn't matter how it got here. What matters is that you get it cleaned up and get rid of it. That's what really matters, because you want to be free. The weapon you use in this case is the blood of Jesus. And you continue to apply it, and you continue to apply it, and you continue to apply it until the ground is softened enough that the weed can be removed. You ready with that? So I want to share with you something that has always just been really, it's just been very vivid to me. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, C.S. Lewis dealt with the idea of a stronghold. I want to show you just a passage out of this here. In the story, the character Eustace has given free rein to his natural nature. He's just a jerk. Always condemning everybody else, always lifting himself up. And in the process of this, living his own indulgences and pitching fits and whatnot, he got turned into a dragon. And he soon realizes that being a dragon isn't a good thing, and he wants to be a boy again. And so what he begins to do is he begins to take his dragon claws and try to cut the dragon suit off him. And he can't. He finds that he's going to need help. This is Eustace. He's trying to take it off. He's trying to cut it free, and he can't. The lion Aslan is the picture of Christ. That's good, isn't it? See, what happens is with a stronghold, oftentimes Christ has to remove it from you. He has to break it. But you have to come to the point where you say, I want it gone. And the truth is, a lot of times people can't say that. I'll ask people when they want to be delivered, do you want to be free from this? Can't I kind of just dabble in it a little? Nope. Because what's happening is, they love it. This is what makes strongholds dangerous. All right, time has failed me yet again. The things we have been discussing the last couple of weeks, they're not really for children. They're not really for young believers. They are for people who are mature. They're meat, they're not milk. And that's why I opened up this morning with, you're going to have to put your big boy pants on. These aren't things for children. As a church, We have been in a lot of spiritual skirmishes lately. We've been in a lot of them. And I think it helps to understand why buttons in your life are getting pushed. It's because we're on the battlefield and the enemy's fighting back. This is why the buttons are getting pushed, and it's why the devil's trying to drive you. The thing you need to remember is the devil is always playing for keeps, and we are not always playing for keeps. We entered the arena and we want to leave in time for dinner. He still fights through dinner. We want to go home for the weekend. He fights through the weekend. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives even unto death. I want you to understand something. God has given you everything you need to defeat your enemy. Everything. There is no reason for you to leave here defeated. You are called to walk in victory. You need to avail yourself of the blood. Is there a stronghold in your life? There is no sense denying it. Apply the blood to it. Recognize it and apply the blood to it. Continue to apply the blood to it. The ground will soften and let the master take it out. He will. That's what he does. Is the Lord speaking to you about buttons in your life? Great. Lead on, Lord Jesus. Today's a good day to die to self. It's a good day to lay down my life and take up my cross. There's nothing in me that I love more than Jesus. There is no thing in me that I don't love jelly donuts more than I love him. We are in covenant together, and that means that whatever I have belongs to him, and whatever he has belongs to me. That means he is free to ask of you anything that he wills. He is probably going to ask for a button. He's probably going to ask you to lay down something in your life that is causing you trouble. That's not a bad thing. If he sees something in my life that displeases him, it's my honor to lay it down before him. That doesn't mean I'm going to get it right the first time, but I will keep presenting it to him as a living sacrifice. I want to leave you today with the recipe to defeat your enemy. The words of what you need to defeat him. You'll find it in James chapter 4, verse 7. Again, a scripture you all know, you just all quote it wrong. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Most people quote it this way, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You've forgotten the key. The key is to submit yourself to God. As I come to the Lord and say, Father, is there anything in me that displeases you? Is there any button in me that displeases you? And I offer it to you freely. Is there any stronghold in me that displeases you? I offer it to you freely. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He's not equipped in that arena where there is nothing in you to grab, to hold, to push. He's not equipped for that arena. So don't argue with the Lord about what's in there and what isn't in there. Just offer it to him. Praise the Lord. I tell you these things not because I want you condemned. Chris opened with it this morning. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is no condemnation because I have been freed from the law of sin and death. The junk that's in me that still needs to come out, it'll come out in due season, and just offer it to him and let him have it. He'll take it out and your life will be sweet. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your life. Thank you, Father, for showing us how to defeat our enemy. Father, for those today who have been in a battle, Father, I pray that you would give them rest. Father, for those who have been fighting the enemy. Father, for those who are fighting and losing when they should be winning. Father, I pray that you would show them the button that is causing them failure, the handle that is causing them trouble. Father, I bless your people and I call for your protection to be on them. Father, I call for the blood of Jesus to be over them. We plead our case in the court of heaven. Our case is simple, the blood of Jesus. That's our whole case. And we rest our defense. I pray, Father, for your encouragement and your life to come and to be on your people now. In Jesus' name, amen.